And last week I said it, but I believe it. It's graduation time. There's something in us that as we let loose, then it's time for graduation. As we allow the Spirit of God to move in us and bring the change, it's time for graduation. As we allow ourselves to come into the place of exchange, it's time for graduation. Exchanging that torment for the peace of God. Exchanging that lack for His abundance. It's time for us to step into the graduation. For us to let go and let God and step into a graduation, because we don't have to take it anymore. God's given us an eyes to see. He's given us eyes to see and He's given us ears to hear. So we don't have to stand and take the devil's lie and deception any longer, because we can begin to declare to God's purpose and His plan. Time to exchange need for a harvest. Exchange insecurity for dominion. Exchange selfishness for His surrender. It takes more than just our will sometimes to surrender. Because sometimes there's things working against us. There's a whole history working against us to be able to surrender. And sometimes we have to come to the throne of grace and step into that divine exchange so that we can surrender. Because we don't understand why we act the way we do. But He does. And He'll be glad to reveal it in the place of surrender. He'll be glad to reveal it in the throne of grace. Divine exchange. Where we exchange the things of this world for the truth of the next. Because when we begin to stand in something that has more than us, we begin to look into the eternal. Graduation time. Father, I ask You just as we speak tonight, Lord, as the service goes forth tonight, Lord, let the fullness of Your exchange continue in each of these, Lord. Let the fullness of that deliverance, Lord, that freedom that You have, Lord, because serving You should, Father, be a place of freedom. Serving You should be a place of joy, Lord. Serving You should be a place, Father, of gladness. So, Lord, we surrender these things. We surrender every burden and every care and every weight, Father, that has kept us from being joyful and glad. Divine exchange. See, when we begin to understand grace and what grace is in our life, then it begins to change how we act and what we do. We've spoken recently about grace a fair amount. And when we begin to understand that grace is our inheritance, grace is all the things that would be a blessing from God. It's all the things that could be deemed to be God's goodness on your behalf. I didn't just make that one up. That one actually comes out of the dictionary for the word charis, which is the word grace. But it changes the way we approach life when we begin to understand and walk in this grace. But we have to also recognize that the grace is the evidence of the Father's desire for you. It's the evidence of His desire to draw you close and into His possession and into His presence and into His fellowship. When we see grace as it truly is, then we're no longer looking at our Christianity as a duty. Our faith is not to be a duty. Our faith should be a joy. Our faith should be a freedom that we get to live in, a freedom that's above and beyond the freedom that our neighbors who don't have Christ. So it's time to quit letting the enemy beat us up and put us in guilt and condemnation. Start enjoying our freedom. See, grace is the one thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion. No other religion features grace. Think about it real quick. Go through it in your mind. No other religion features grace. Grace is the most important function. It's the master key of our Christianity. It's the master key because God has ordained this thing to draw us into His presence. Because it's no longer about what we do. Every other religion is about what we do. Grace is about what He did. It's a master key to our Christianity, and the devil wants to snuff it out. He's been trying ever since the beginning. He had Peter shifted out of grace and back into works. But Paul came and stood before him. See, because Paul had a revelation of grace. If you'll turn to Ephesians 3, 7. Verse 7 says, "Of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which is given to me according to the working of His power." So we see the grace. He was made a minister by grace. He was made a minister by the working of God's power, and He's calling the working of God's power grace. We've known that grace is the power of God, and right here it tells you that. Right here it's saying that. But see, there's something even more here that's happening, because see, Paul met grace. He met grace. If you'll turn over there to Acts 26, let's take a quick look in Acts 26. He meets grace. Verse 15. This is when Saul is about to become Paul. He's on his donkey and he's on his way to persecute the Christians. And he comes face to face with his Lord. And here's the exchange. Verse 13, he says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" When you meet Jesus face to face, Lord is a real good title. "And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." "But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I've appeared to you, to appoint you a minister." To appoint you a minister. What we just learned just a minute ago, grace made him a minister. He just met grace. He just met grace. And grace said, "I'm appointing you a minister." Grace. See, this is written in red. It means it's Jesus saying that. Jesus saying, "I'm grace, and I'm appointing you a minister. Out of my power and out of my authority, I'm making you a minister of the gospel. I'm making you a minister of my truth." See, this truth thing came so dynamically within Paul that he never let it go. Every letter that Paul introduces, he introduces with grace. It's not just a greeting. It's not just a salutation, but it's an impartation. Every letter that Paul wrote, he wrote with the introduction of grace. He said, first of all, I'm either an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, or, you know, there are several different titles he gave him, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he also includes grace. And it's going to happen within the first few verses of every book that he wrote. Because He wants you to know grace. He wants to introduce grace and He wants to impart grace into everything that He does. Because it's in that impartation of grace He understands that the power of the gospel is released. It's in the impartation of grace that the truth of the gospel is released. It's the working of His power. When He defended the grace to Peter over in Galatians 2, verse 14, He says, "Why are you not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel?" The truth of the gospel. Grace is the truth of the gospel. Why aren't you being straightforward about that truth? Why are you going back under the law and going back under those things of the acts and observing observances over feasts and famines and all the rest of the stuff? Because He wanted him to understand. It's about grace. Our whole Christian faith is about grace. If it wasn't about grace, we could still be a Jew. It's about grace. Go to Hebrews 4. In Hebrews 4, we're going to look at verse 16, but we see that He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents in verse 12. And that everything that we have within us is open and laid bare before God. Verse 13. Then we see verses 14 and 15 that Jesus is our high priest. And He walked through everything that we walked through. He's tempted with everything that we've been tempted with. He understood everything because He experienced it for Himself. And out of His experience, He chose to be your high priest. He chose to sacrifice Himself. He chose to bow down in obedience to the will of the Father, to submit Himself to the will of the Father for your sake, for your behalf. We'll just back up to 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us draw, therefore, near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, He is the high priest. He's the high priest, but He's also our grace. He's also our grace. He's our access into the grace, and He's our grace. Now I want you to look just real quickly over at 1 John 2:2, because otherwise you might say that I'm lying. Because see, in 1 John 2:2, it says He Himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. You know what a propitiation is? Propitiation literally is the mercy seat. It's the mercy seat of God. The mercy seat was that which appeared above the Ark of the Covenant. And suspended over the mercy seat were two angels with their wings spread and touching. So I'm submitting to you. See, He says He is the mercy seat. He is the propitiation. I'm submitting to you. Not only is He the one who receives you in and welcomes you in, but He's also the one who covers you. The one who's your hedge and your protection. The one, as the angels spread their wings over the mercy seat, His wings are also spread over us, covering us, becoming and forming the hedge on our behalf. So as we become into the place of acknowledging Him and acknowledging Him, then our faith becomes effectual as we acknowledge Him as our mercy seat. Our faith has something to grab a hold of now because we can acknowledge Him as our mercy seat. We can come into a place of standing under. An understanding is standing under. And we come into a place of standing under this mercy seat, standing over the covering that He is offering. divine exchange. It's where we exchange who we are for who He is. Where we exchange who we are for who He is. Where we come to graduate, because in order to graduate, we must be able to exchange. The thing He's looking for us to graduate to the next phase is for us to be able to come to the place of exchange. And as we come to the place of exchange, to be confident that He will do it, regardless of what our eyes see. It doesn't matter anymore what our eyes see. What matters is the place and the throne of grace that you're allowing to rise in your heart, and the place of this divine protection that you're allowing to see and walk in. Like Paul, grace changes your whole life. It changes your whole perspective from everything that you're doing. Paul believed he was following after God, and he was to a fashion. He just wasn't doing it in the way God wanted him to go. As we follow after grace, as we come under this grace, as we come into a revelation of grace, we come into the knowledge of God. And as we come into the knowledge of God, then we know what it is that we're doing. We know what it is His plan is for us. Grace is the ultimate expression of God's love. It's the ultimate expression of His love. It's the demonstration of God's love for you. All that is good is in His grace. And it's being released for you. Vi told me an interesting story the other day. And in this, her mother was here visiting. She went to bed. She had warmed some milk to sleep. And then she walked away and left the burner going all night long. And when Vi saw that in the morning, they were both there in the room. And so she very hurriedly just walked over and flipped it and shut it off without saying anything. See, what happens is when we come into a place of grace, we come into a place of where your love covers a multitude of sins. Your love covers a multitude of sins. Because see, Vi's action was to cover her. Why? Because she did not need to provoke her over that thing. She wanted to cover her because over this, we want the most important thing to me is the relationship. And so with the same way with God, when we come into a place of sin or whatever else it is, then God can come and He begins to cover it through His love. Because He's desiring a relationship first and foremost with us. And that was demonstrated in what Vi did. Because she desired the relationship. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. See, grace is not an excuse for sin. So often we have that thought and it's just not the case. See, grace is the covering of love unto righteousness. Unto righteousness. Grace comes in through this love. To establish relationship, to establish restoration. 1 Peter 4:8, verse 10 says, every man hath received the gift, even so. Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As we begin to see this grace and the unconditional love that comes from grace, as the operation of grace, if we see and understand love is the operation of grace, then now God can come in and be our covering. And when He comes in to be our covering, now all of a sudden, we can become transparent before Him. What we read back there in Hebrews 4, verse 13, all things are open and laid bare. When we come to the throne of grace, we come to a place of transparency. A A throne is inherently a moment of surrender. You don't approach a king unless you're willing to surrender. You don't approach a holy God unless you're willing to surrender. It's a place of surrender. It's an altar, a place of surrender. When I begin to understand that this love is the operation of grace, transparency can become my response because I no longer have to walk in fear. I no longer have to wonder what God is up to. I no longer have to wonder what else is going on. I can begin to embrace His promise. I used to think that worship was the only gift I could offer God. That was the only gift that I could really give Him that was my own to give. But now I understand. My transparency is the best gift I can give God. Because see, if I give Him transparency, then I become teachable. If I become teachable, then I become correctable. If I become correctable, then I become promotable. When we add our will to the will of the Father, it allows Him to change us. When we add our will to the will of the Father, it allows Him to change us. Because it brings His order into our life. It brings His design and His plan into our life. He had a plan for Jesus. But Jesus had a choice of whether or not He would surrender His will at the cross. He had an operation and He had a perfect plan already laid out. But Jesus had to surrender that will. In the same way, we have to surrender our will in order for God's perfect plan to be enacted in our life. And out of that is a change and transformation comes forth. Death of the old things, resurrection to the new. Resurrection to the new. When we realize His love pours out in grace, transparency before Him becomes easy. Because I'm not hiding from Him anymore. When I begin to know Him as a holy God who desires every good gift for me, then why wouldn't I submit myself to Him? The only reason that I ever don't want to submit myself to Him is because I think I somehow have a better plan. Right? Do you? Do you have a better plan? Then that's the deal. We've got to recognize that when we serve a holy God who desires every good thing for us, who has every good plan for us, who desires to bless us beyond our imagination, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or think, why don't we want to surrender? Yes. Thank you. When we learn to surrender that way, become transparent before Him that way, then we'll become a magnet for His grace. You want to be a magnet for His grace. Get before Him and be transparent. Because He's going to operate in your behalf in ways that you never even imagined. Even those around you get blessed when you get blessed. My son called me this week feeling I was just in that place of grace. And he said, Dad, I'm going out today. I've got to sell. I said, I've got 2 days and I've got to make 2 sales. And I just prayed over it and I just released the grace that I was feeling over his life. He called me at 7 o'clock that night. He didn't even spend all day or all afternoon at it. He had 2 sales and an appointment for the next day already. Because the grace flows. It touches everybody else. It touches whoever will touch you when you're in that place of grace. Somebody wants it. Somebody wants it. Jesus. Become a magnet for His grace. When we surrender, it's a way of taking up our cross daily. Because what was that? A submission to the will of the Father. And now suddenly, instead of something that's distasteful, it becomes something that's freedom, something that's promotion, something that's moving you into the next phase. It's a time for a graduation. It's time for a graduation. Come on. Let's graduate this place. Let's graduate this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's submit ourselves and bring the incense to graduation. Pastor, come.
Oh, come on. Hallelujah. You got to get a hold of it. You got to get a hold of it. It can't just be taught. It's got to be caught. You got to step in. I want you to close your eyes. Get out of your head and your mind. You'll never find grace in your head. Just step in. Just step in. Just step in. Just step in. Close your eyes and step in. Just step through. Through the gate. Through. You'll go in and out. You'll find the pasture. You'll find the sufficiency of God. You'll find the power of God. You'll find the inheritance of God. You'll find the glory of God. You'll find the promotion of God. You'll find Him in all of His fullness. The step in. Oh, hallelujah. Man, he said something when he started out of the gate. He said, it's the only religion in the world that offers grace. Every other religion is based on what you do, except this one was based on what he did. And if it be of grace, it cannot be of works. If it be of works, it's no longer grace. You gotta find the dividing line. If it's gonna be by grace and he's gonna do it and you can't do it, you're gonna be used, but you won't do it. It will not originate with you. It originate with him. And all of you's gotta go under surrender. It's gotta go under submission. You gotta get bowed down low and we gotta come in and just step in. Just step in. It's just stepping in the realization. If it's going to get done, he's going to do it through us, but it's not going to be of us. Oh, Father, the throne of grace is our inheritance. Christ is grace. He's the gift. We beheld his glory full of grace and truth, full of grace. The only religion in the world that offers it. Only religion in the world that offers the free gift. Why is that so hard for us, Father? Why do we want to work for it? Even Peter went back under the law. Want to go work for it some more. We got to stay in the free gift. We got to stay in what was freely given. It's unearnable. It's undeservable. It's unmerited. But it can be accessed by faith. By faith into this grace. We stand in grace. We don't stand in our works. We stand in grace. Faith, grace, faith, grace, grace, faith. Faith, grace, faith, grace, grace, faith. Grace, grace, faith. Faith, grace. Faith, grace. Great grace. Everyone shout, great grace. Great grace.